Welcome to Must Do's and Hidden Gems, presented by Visit St. Pete Clearwater and the Tampa Bay Times, where you'll learn from the locals how to make the most out of your visit to St. Pete Clearwater, or as we like to call it, paradise. I'm your host, Carrie O'Reilly, with the Tampa Bay Times. My wife and I have lived in the area since 2000 and can't think of anywhere else we'd rather be. We've raised two girls here and have enjoyed the nightlife of our downtowns, as well as the serenity of our beaches and parks. In this episode, we're going to visit the eclectic and artistic coastal town of Gulfport, where amongst many other cool things, you'll find a 14-foot statue of a gecko, more on that later. And then we'll talk with Traveling Ted, a seasoned travel blogger who has been all over the world. We'll find out what he loves about a few of our parks and preserves. Finally, we'll end our episode on Passagrill Beach in our ongoing quest to spot the green flash. It's a tough job, but someone's got to do it. Gulfport is a community located 15 minutes from Fort DeSoto Park, or 10 minutes from St. Pete. It's known as the gateway to the Gulf, but that hardly describes its unique character. With me is Scott Lindy, president of the Gulfport Merchants Chamber, and Susie King, former Chamber board member and current manager of the Tuesday Fresh Market, Gecko Fest, Gulfport Pride Festival, and Get Rescued. Scott and Susie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Susie, would you mind getting us started? What makes Gulfport unique compared to other places in St. Pete Clearwater?
It's very community focused. Downtown is super walkable. You can stroll the brick sidewalks and shop and dine and visit the beach, take a walk on the pier, go fishing. It's real walkable, laid back, come as you are type of atmosphere.
I agree. Scott, what would you add that makes Gulfport unique and special compared to the other communities in our area?
We have over 85 events per year going on here throughout the year. And it's very much of a Key West vibe, but Key West back in the day. And people are very hungry for that kind of atmosphere these days with all of the corporate and overbuilt things. We're a little flash in the past.
I love it. My wife and I were here on Saturday night, and we had that same feeling that it had the eclectic, artistic energy of Key West, but you didn't have to go all the way to Key West to get there, and a lot fewer people to contend with.
I mean, this whole town is only 2.8 square miles and less than 12,000 people, and a third of those are snowbirds. So
people that visit here, they leave here feeling like they have a new family. Like, it's a very welcoming small town. Small town with a big heart.
I agree. And when I was downtown, I noticed something that you don't see in many communities throughout the state, and that is an absence of corporate chains. Am I right about that?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, no chain stores, no parking meters. We're pretty proud of that.
I love it. Yeah, that's great. And a lot of live music. So my wife and I started at the Gulfport Brewery.
They've got a place.
Great little stage, great beer, great food. And we decided, well, we're just going to walk from there and find something to eat. And so within a couple of blocks, there were at least 3, 4, 5 other live musicians performing that we could just pop in and listen to for a few minutes if we wanted to, or stay the rest of the night.
And they're all local musicians.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
I did a quick count. We've got in a 5-block walkable area, 13 dining options. Again, all locally owned and operated. And 11 music venues. Some of them are day and night. Some of them are night only. Some of them are day only. But there's a lot of music opportunities. Absolutely.
I love it. And the different types of restaurants makes Gulfport unique and fun, too. So we started at the Gulfport Brewery. You kind of get that bar food. And we looked at Pia's, great Italian restaurant. There was a pretty long line. I should have planned ahead and gotten reservations. But from there, we went over to O'Maddy's to take a look at that. They had some live music going. But we ended up at a pizza place that had some great pizza. It was called Tommy's Hideaway. And Tommy was there. We talked to Tommy. I love a place where you could meet the owner or the proprietor, because you really get that sense that he or she have put their heart into the business.
That's really true.
That's the way it works around here.
Yeah.
I love it. So, Susie, you manage several special events. If you haven't made up your mind on when you want to come to St. Pete Clearwater or Gulfport, talk about those special events and why those might be good opportunities or a good excuse to come visit.
Okay. In February, we have two special events. We do a fine arts festival, which is upscale art. And then at the end of February, we do our Get Rescued event, which is a pet rescue festival. We support upwards of 40 animal rescue groups, and we donate all the proceeds back to them. Gulfport is super pet friendly. In the summertime, we have our Gulfport Pride Festival, super colorful, very welcoming. And then in August, we have Gecko World. Like, Gecko World is a thing. We have three events leading up to the big event, which is Gecko Fest. We've been doing it for 25 years. The event is come as you are, wear whatever you want, just wear something. And it's full of entertainment. We have two stages with live music, and then every intersection we have interactive street theater performances. So you'll have anything from somebody juggling on a unicycle to escape artist and acrobats and things like that. That one's super fun.
I brought my kids to Gecko Fest a few years ago, so it's family friendly too.
Oh, all of our events are free, family friendly, and pet friendly.
Love it.
And don't forget, we have our Pink Flamingo Tour of Homes that happens annually, which is a very, very popular event. We usually sell that out at some 500 plus tickets, touring between 8 and 10 homes that are local, something unique about each of the homes.
Scott, what time of year is that?
That's March. In March.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we also have an event here twice a year that's really unique and people really seem to be resonating with it. It's relatively new. It's called Art in the Yard. It's like a citywide garage sale where people put their stuff out. Only in this case, it's artists.
Okay.
And that's sponsored by the city. They allow that and it's organized by a private group. And that brings a lot of people from out of town as well.
When we were here on Saturday night, you had a night market, which was unique and neat because it's a little hot here during the days, but it went until 10 o'clock and a great variety of vendors, very inviting, lots of fun. But every Tuesday you have the market downtown, right?
The fresh market. Yeah. We've got produce, plants, flowers, baked goods, crafters, kettle corn, all sorts of foodie type opportunities. I call it Gulfport's Tuesday grocery store.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Okay, here's a tough question for both of you. And Scott, I'm going to start with you. If you only had 12 hours to spend in Gulfport, give me your must-do and maybe a hidden gem.
Well, it kind of depends on what you like. You know, I'm an early morning riser and a kind of a nature guy. So I start my day with sunrise. And if someone were visiting, they could do a sunrise followed by a kayak tour over in Clam Bayou Nature Preserve, and then just walk the waterfront on up to the historic downtown area. And I would do it on a Tuesday so that I could go to the Tuesday market and see what the vibe is there, because that's the most special thing about it is the vibe. If there's nothing really that's there to buy, that's okay. It's just a really enjoyable time. And that also gives you an opportunity to visit the shops along the way and stop for lunch. On the other hand, if you want to get a little bit later start, then, you know, maybe you start with lunch and follow with some entertainment and maybe our night market and still a walk around town. We've got the Climber Park up here that has a sculpture garden walking path, and it goes winds through a food forest, which is we were the first city sponsored food forest in the nation, which is a pretty remarkable thing. Don't forget to see Gordon the Gecko, our 14-foot high mascot gecko down by the waterfront. That's certainly a must see. And there's lots of other little niche things as well, but those would be my suggestion.
And can you rent kayaks if you didn't bring your own?
We have an operation here, Kayak Nature Adventures. You can look them up, and they have guided and unguided tours available in that Clam Bayou Reserve, so absolutely.
Great. Okay, Susie, your turn.
Well, obviously, I'm going to say you've got to attend one of our events.
Sure.
And you should come hungry because we have a lot of restaurants. The events are super inclusive. And that's how we get people that attend our events. That's how we get to advertise Gulfport as a destination. Mm-hmm. We raise funds that way. For a hidden gem, I would recommend the Blueberry Patch. The Blueberry Patch isn't downtown. It's right around the corner from where we're sitting here. And it's an artist enclave. The whole place is decorated with art. People volunteer and create sculptures and art in there. They give opportunities for musicians to do open mics and perform there. They've been open since 1977. They're only open certain evenings during the month, but it is a must-see. If you're here at nighttime, you should stop by there.
That's a great suggestion. Susie, you mentioned the Gulfport Pride Festival. Does that take place at the same time as the St. Pete Pride Festival, which is one of the biggest in the country?
No, we always host ours the first Saturday in June.
Okay.
Because we don't want to interfere with all of that that's going on down there. Plus, we want to go to that one too.
Okay. Great plan. Okay, Susie, is there anything that I haven't asked you about Gulfport that you would like to be sure people are aware of before we wrap up?
Well, when you visit Gulfport, like I said, you're going to feel like part of the community just by visiting. It invites you to slow down, and there's a lot of visual art and murals and sculptures around the town. It wouldn't be like a fast-paced, you know, Clearwater or St. Pete type of vibe. It's more like come as you are, relax, take your time, and enjoy our little town.
Great description. Scott, how about you? Anything that I haven't asked you want people to know?
I just want to say come and be a part of our community for just a day.
Okay. All right. One final question. There's an optical phenomenon known as the green flash. Have you ever seen it? And how did you accomplish that feat? Susie, how about you?
I have never seen it, but I do believe in it. And I think if you blink, you're going to miss it.
Okay. And it's when the sun slips over the horizon over the water.
Setting.
Okay.
Correct.
Scott, how about you?
I've tried to observe it many, many times around the world. Anytime I have an opportunity for a sunset over water, and I think through the powers of subliminal suggestion, I've seen visual phenomenon that I could possibly equate to said green flash, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, fair enough. Susie, Scott, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for all you do for Gulfport and the St. Pete Clearwater area, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up in part two, you'll meet Traveling Ted, who's been all over the world but keeps coming back to St. Pete Clearwater. We'll find out some of his must-dos and hidden gems in our area. But first, I want to tell you about how you can visit St. Pete Clearwater and save money on all the fun things to do here. What you need to do is go to the Visit St. Pete Clearwater website at visitspc.com and download the Funshine Savings Passport. It's absolutely free, and you'll get deals and discounts on attractions, dining, and all kinds of fun things to do. That's visitspc.com. Download the Funshine Savings Passport and save cash. What's not to like about that? Ted Nelson, a.k.a. Traveling Ted, is a travel blogger who has visited more than 50 countries and dozens of parks and nature preserves in the U.S., including Fort DeSoto Park, which is located in Tierra Verde, just a 15-minute drive south from St. Pete, Boyd Hill Nature Preserve, right near downtown St. Pete, and Whedon Island Preserve, which is about 20 minutes north of St. Pete. Ted is an experienced paddler, guide, and hiker, and has an amazing eye for bird spotting. Ted is actually an old friend of mine who now lives in Chicago, but like many Midwesterners, loves to visit St. Pete Clearwater. Ted, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
All right, Ted, let's start out at Fort DeSoto Park. I know that you loved that park. Tell us about your experience there and what stood out.
The thing that stood out to me most is that it has this great blend of family, fun, beach, outing, plus nature. I mean, I feel like usually when you go to a beach, you're either going to get one or the other. You're going to be either on an isolated beach by yourself with the jungle behind you, or you're going to be with like a mob of people and you don't see any type of nature. But Fort DeSoto, there was like, I think there was maybe like 20 to 30 people spread out over the whole beach that wasn't congested at all. And then even as I walked towards the beach, there was like this little kind of like inlet that you had to kind of walk through. And there was American oyster catchers and plovers that were fishing in the little inlet. I saw ibises and osprey. And so it was really cool to see that mixture of beach and nature.
I agree. It's beautiful there. Now, one of the main features of Fort DeSoto, of course, is the fort. So you checked out the fort. Explain a little bit about the fort and maybe what's there that you could see.
It has this seashell concrete formula, which has kind of this nice kind of coloring. And you have stairs, so you go up and you can walk along the walls. There's a couple of 12-inch mortar guns there so that kind of point out to the sea, so you kind of see how strategically it was set to protect the coast. So yeah, it's really cool to get a little glimpse of history along with your nature and beach outing.
Yeah, absolutely. And right off of Fort DeSoto is Egmont Key State Park, which you can take a ferry to. There's a really cool lighthouse there. And you can check out the ruins of Fort Dade, which is a Spanish-American War era fort. That's really neat and great educational experience. So, Ted, when you were there, did you see families in and around the park?
Yeah, definitely saw some families out on the beach enjoying the water and saw some people camping as well.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't camp myself, but I did a little drive through the campground to kind of check that out.
I have camped there, and it's a great spot for camping. Very popular. If you're interested in going, you might want to get your reservations well in advance. So in addition to hiking, people ride bikes there all the time. My wife and our daughters went and rode the trail. It's very easy to bike, and somebody who's been in Florida for 25 years, nice and flat. So I liked it for that. But there's also kayaking and canoe trails in Fort DeSoto. So lots to do there. Great for the family. All right, let's travel north just a little bit from Fort DeSoto to Boyd Hill Nature Preserve. So, Ted, talk about Boyd Hill Nature Preserve and how it's different from Fort DeSoto if you're trying to decide which one to visit.
Fort DeSoto is coastal beach. This was more interior Florida, like a lake, more like jungly, more forested. So you see different wildlife, of course. There are no alligators in Fort DeSoto, but you definitely could see one at Boyd's Hill. We actually saw a great horned owl as we came into the park. There was someone who was working there that was like, hey, there's an owl there. So that was pretty exciting. You know, sometimes I go years without seeing an owl. So to see one, especially one that was not flying away, was really cool. And then you see your more traditional lake wading birds like, you know, herons, wood storks. And I believe we saw a roseate spoonbill there, which was really exciting too. That's always something you really want to see when you go to Florida.
Yep, that was cool. And I thought their aviary was really cool, where they have birds of prey that they're rehabilitating, and you could check out eagles. They've got hawks and other owls there that you can see really up close, and they're just beautiful. The other thing that I liked about Boyd Hill were the sculptures that were along the trails. And really easy walkable trails, and a nice way if you are staying downtown St. Pete and just want to get some fresh air and experience a touch of nature without going too far away. Boyd Hill Preserve is a great option. All right, let's head a little bit further north from St. Pete and Boyd Hill, about 20 minutes by car to Whedon Island Nature Preserve. Ted, one of my favorite experiences was when we kayaked through Whedon Island. Tell me about some of the things that stood out to you on that trip.
Yeah, I was just looking through my pictures of that before to kind of get prepared for this. And I didn't remember all the birds that we saw. I mean, like, we saw reddish egret, we saw American oyster catchers, herons, and then pelicans and osprey. And we saw an osprey actually eating a fish on one of those, like,
oh yeah,
you know, no wake signs, and it was like we got pretty close to it. And so once again, yeah, the nature, the birding is just, I mean, Florida is just incredible. And you know, one thing we forgot to mention about Fort DeSoto is it's the gateway to the Florida Birding Trail.
Oh right.
And when you're driving through Florida and you're interested in birding, you see those signs of like Florida birding site here. So it's it's great. That's kind of like the gateway for it. But yeah, same with Whedon Island, had incredible birding. And then the mangroves are just amazing. Last year when I was in Sri Lanka, I took a boat cruise through a river that had a pretty significant mangrove swamp. So it's awesome that you can see that, you know, that's in Florida, something. So when I think of mangroves, I think of Asia or South America or something more exotic.
I agree. I love that mangrove tunnel that you can paddle through, the canopy of branches. It almost feels like you're in another world while you're in that tunnel. And the little blue crabs that you see scampering along the branches, it's just magical.
They also have a really awesome mangrove swamp in the Everglades. But again, to have that so close to St. Pete is really cool.
Yep, I agree. And we went with my wife and daughters and my parents. And I think the kayaking trail that we took about 3 hours, but it was really well marked. You just look for little signs and you paddle towards the sign. And sometimes you're out in an open area and other times you're in a more wooded area, but lots of different sights to see and birds, and you can stop and get out and cool off in the water and just take your time if you want. And we rented kayaks. There's a couple of outfits nearby that make it really easy to rent canoes or kayaks. But if you wanted to bring your own, you could do that too. Ted, let's talk a little bit about traveling. I would consider you a traveling expert. For people who are on their way to St. Pete Clearwater or maybe thinking about visiting St. Pete Clearwater, what do you recommend? Plan everything in advance or just figure it out as you go?
I think you want a medium, you know, middle ground. I recommend that, you know, whenever I travel, I always kind of like wherever my next travel place is, when I have a few minutes, I just go on YouTube and I'll do like top 10 things to do in Panama, top 10 things to do in Tampa, and, you know, watch a few videos from people and get some ideas. And then, you know, go on Google and things to do and so and read some travel blogs. But I don't spend like an inordinate amount of time. I just want to have a general idea what's there. And then when I get there, then, you know, I can make those choices. And, you know, if I need to do more research, I can do that when I get there. But yeah, I don't like to like set myself up to like, I got to do this, and this. I just think that's like too much pressure. You want to also have fun and relax on your trip.
Yeah, I agree. Another resource that is fantastic for St. Pete Clearwater is our Gulf to Bay magazine. So if you are online and want to check that out, you can go to visitspc.com and you can flip through the magazine. Of course, there's all kinds of stories on the website. Or if you are planning to visit and still have a few weeks before you head our way, you can order a free copy of the magazine mailed to your house. I'll have to send one to you, Ted, so you can start planning your next trip here.
And if I don't get it, I can grab one at the Chicago Travel and Adventure Show.
Yeah, for sure. They're also available at the airport when you come in. Ted, this has been so much fun walking down memory lane with you and getting your insights into travel and the nature preserves here in St. Pete Clearwater. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about these three spots or traveling in general that you'd like people to know?
Yeah, you know, one thing I've really started to get into as I get older is the fun of making like lists. Like, for instance, I keep track of how many countries I've been to. But you can also do that on a more micro level. Like, you know, when you're going to a certain spot, you want to make sure that you see the big five. Like in Africa, the big five are the five animals that were the most dangerous to hunt, but have morphed into the five animals that people want to see on their safari and take photographs of. And that includes the rhino, the elephant, lion, leopard, and Cape buffalo. So when you go to St. Pete Clearwater, you want to make sure that you see the big five wildlife of St. Pete Clearwater.
Oh, that's great. What would you call the big five of St. Pete Clearwater?
So when everyone goes to St. Pete Clearwater, they want to make sure they see an alligator, a manatee, dolphins, some type of birds of prey, like a eagle, osprey, an owl, and then wading birds. And like top of the list would probably be a roseate spoonbill, wood storks, herons, egrets. So you can kind of like subdivide, you know, some of those last two ones. But the three places that we went to, So Fort DeSoto has four of the five. There are no alligators there, but you can, when I went out to the pier, I saw a manatee, I saw a pod of dolphins, I saw osprey all over the place, egrets, ibis. I think I may have seen a wood stork there. So you can see four out of the five there at Fort DeSoto. And then to get your alligator fix, you can go to Boyd Hill. I believe that we saw one in the lake, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, that's great advice. And Ted, you're amazing at spotting birds. When we've been walking the trails, you'll see them and you can tell by their call and their song what they are. But, you know, egrets, I've seen a few, but too few to mention.
And you don't want to leave St. Pete Clearwater with any of them.
No. Egrets or regrets. All right, Ted. Thanks again. It's been great catching up. And if you would like to learn more about Traveling Ted or follow him on his journeys, you can visit his website at travelingted.com or follow him on Facebook or Instagram. Ted, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, no problem. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
We are here at beautiful Paso Grille Beach, which is a neighborhood of St. Pete Beach in the southern part of the St. Pete Clearwater area. And I'm here with my friend and audio engineer, Dave, who has been with me throughout these fun episodes, taking you all over the St. Pete Clearwater area. And we are continuing our quest to spot the elusive green flash, the optical phenomenon that some believe they have seen and others are still chasing. Now we're hearing the bell in the background, which means the sun is setting and we're counting it down here to sunset. 3, 2, 1. Our quest continues. Dave, did you see a green flash?
I kept looking, but I didn't see it this time.
Well, we had a great dinner across the street at the Hurricane Restaurant, and people are clapping now because we like to call this sunset theater because it's absolutely beautiful. Whether you see the green flash or not, it's worth the trip out to the beach. Whether you're visiting or you live here, it's so serene. And the waves at Paso Grille Beach are gentle. They're not the type of waves you would typically surf, but for a family that just wants to splash around and have some fun, this is the place to do it. Paso Grille is known as one of the locals' beach because there aren't a lot of hotels nearby, so the locals love it. And one of the things that I love about Paso Grille Beach is the parking is just steps away from the beach. So if you've got your lawn chairs and your umbrella and your cooler and things, you don't have to carry it a long ways, and you've got your toes in the sand or your feet in the water within just a matter of a minute or two. There's also great restaurants. There's a nice cafe nearby, and it's just beautiful. Well, this has been another episode of Must-Dos and Hidden Gems. Thanks for joining us. For sun, sand, and so much more, there's nothing quite like St. Pete Clearwater. The best of St. Pete Clearwater doesn't stop here. Get your free copy of Gulf to Bay magazine today. Go to visitspc.com for more details. Must-Dos and Hidden Gems is produced by Visit St. Pete Clearwater in partnership with Times Total Media, the sales and marketing division of the Tampa Bay Times. Recording by Dave Morrison, editing by Dan Canaro, executive producers Katie Bridges, Eddie Kirsch, and Steve Grimes.